Well, in a moment, Keith is going to be just telling exactly what the Lord has done for him and in a personal word of testimony. But just now we're going to bow for a moment of prayer and then we're going to have our offering. So let's bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank you that many of us could jump to our feet tonight and just tell of what the Lord has done for us. We thank you for that crimson river. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. A fountain for sin and for uncleanness. And tonight, Lord, thank you that that fountain is still flowing, ever full and ever free. And Father, as we bring our offerings and our tithes to you just now, we pray, Lord, that our offerings and tithes will reflect something of our love for you and our commitment to you. And Lord, and our thanks for all that the Lord has done for us and provided for us. And we would ask, Lord, that you'll take everything that we give to you and use it for your own eternal glory. And may many lives be blessed as a result of our sacrificial giving. Remembering, Lord, those who are serving you right around this world. And we pray, Lord, for those who in the persecuted church would be under severe and excruciating circumstances and they cannot meet as we do. And Father, we would pray that you will draw graciously near. Lord, we can't help but think, Father, that they have something that we don't have. They have something of the sense of God's protecting hand upon them every day. Lord, we know that you protect us, but they're so much more conscious of it. And we ask, Lord, that you'll meet with them and draw near to them. And grant, O God, that you'll protect them from the onslaught of the enemy. Remember, Father, those of our loved ones and our families that are feeling the persecution and the temptation and the heartache of the devil coming upon them. And we ask, Lord, that you'll liberate them and, Lord, set your hedge around them. May they know your peace. Lord, there are so many of our loved ones in our minds in these days. But we would ask, Lord, that you'll just draw near collectively as we lift them up before thee in the arms of faith and love. We pray for your blessing and your hand upon us now in the Saviour's name. Amen. This evening, Keith, you're very welcome. Keith is a young man that's on fire for God, and you're going to soon just hear that. Keith, you're very welcome. May God bless you as you come and minister to us. We'll ask you to come right away and share what the Lord has done for you to this people. Thanks, Keith.
If you have the precious word of God with you this evening, can I invite you to turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 34. And when we're turning up to this great psalm, can I take this opportunity, first of all, of thanking your pastor and the session of this church for inviting me here this evening to give a personal word of testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. You know, it's no secret what the Lord Jesus Christ can do. It truly isn't, folks. You know, this time 8 years ago, I would have been a doorman out around the pubs and the clubs for Satan. Yes, you could say that because we can't serve two masters. But just to think 8 years later, I'm still a doorman. But the difference is tonight I'm a doorman for the Lord Jesus Christ. And fighting it tonight to open up your heart's door and let this wonderful Savior in. Let's turn to God's precious word and hear what the Lord has to say. This is a great psalm, very dear to my heart. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, you know, I don't believe in adding or taking away from the scriptures, but I have just written in there, I will bless my Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I just want to pause there. Tonight, with God's help tonight, I hope to speak on two fears, two dreams, and two promises. Continue on, verse 5. They looked unto him and they were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. And truly I can say tonight, like Paul of old, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 6. Here we see that the Lord saves. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That's wonderful, folks. Not only do we see the Lord saves, but verse 7, we see the Lord keeps. The angel of the Lord campeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Not only do we see the Lord saves, he also keeps, but he also truly satisfies. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And with the word of God open before us, can we just unite our hearts in a brief word of prayer and ask for the Lord's leading and the Lord's guidance here this evening. Let's pray. Our loving God and our gracious eternal Heavenly Father, we want to give thee thanks for the precious word of truth. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Lord, we can say with confidence tonight, Lord, that thy word, it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll use the words not of man, Lord. May the words of Keith Shields not be seen or even heard tonight, but the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, pick me afresh, Lord. Empty me from self, from sin, and from that stinking old disease of pride. Create unto me now, Lord, that clean heart that's fit for the Master's good purpose. We pray, dear Lord, for the covering of this meeting this evening, Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that you'll bound out the strong man, Lord. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll cover this building in the blood. We pray anything that Satan may have for this meeting, Lord, that you'll rebound it right back into the very pit of hell where it belongs. Help me now, Lord, to glorify my lovely Savior. Give me the words of the psalmist David. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. My Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll come, Lord, you'll meet with us. Open up the windows of heaven, Lord, and pour out a blessing. And fill me now afresh with the Spirit of the Triune God. Help me to speak well of my Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. You know something, folks? I just want to say from the outset of this testimony that all that I am is a sinner. But the difference is a sinner saved by grace. And how the hymn writer got it right when he wrote those beautiful words. Though many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe this far. And praise the Lord, it will be grace that will lead me home. You know, I stand here simply as a trophy of grace, of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do in a life. So then to my God be the glory for great things he hath done in my life. You know, I love Psalm 91 and verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I glorify him. I will lift him on high because he hath known my name. And folks, that amazes me to stand here tonight just to think that the creator of this world knows the name of Keith Shields. And I'm just wondering in this meeting tonight, does the Lord Jesus Christ know your name? Well, the answer to that is yes, he does know your name. Because that's the omnipotence of God, all-knowing and all-powerful. But what I am asking, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, folks? Revelations 20 and 15 tells me, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into hell. And can I suggest tonight in this meeting that there's two things will take you to that awful place called hell. Two things. The first thing is you refused to accept God's way of salvation. And that was through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second thing simply is, listen folks, you listen to the lies of the devil. And he ended up deceiving you. You know, the book of the Revelations goes on to say in Revelations 20 and 10, and the devil that deceived them. Praise the Lord, I love the end of it. Shall be cast into the lake of fire and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. Folks, for 35 years of my life, that's where I was going to. 35 years of my life, that's where I was going to. Satan has many tricks in his book. Did you hear that, folks? Satan has many tricks in his book. He'll either tell you tonight that man speaking at the front, he's cuckoo. Or else he'll tell you that man at the front, you know, he's right. But to be sure of one thing, he'll tell you some other time. That was his major trick in my life. Keith, you know the gospel. Wait till you're 60 or 70. Give your life to Christ then. You know what the word of God says? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Folks, there's a lot of mocking and scoffing in today's society. Does it surprise me? No. Why? Because the word of God tells me towards the end days that this is going to arise more and more and more. 4 years ago, we were moving home. We went to view this house. And I'm a kind of a guy, I wouldn't be easy scared, folks, and I mean that. But we went through this house, and the state agent opened up the last room. It was a massive bit that was built on to the back of this house. And there was a massive pool table, some kind of a makeshift bar in the corner. And folks, you know, some I didn't mind that because I knew I could rip the bar out. But it was the plaque that was on the wall. The plaque that was on the wall. Do you know what it said, folks? It simply read like this: if there's no beer in heaven, I don't want to be there. If there's no beer in heaven, I don't want to be there. Well, I thank the Lord tonight that not only is there no beer in heaven, but praise the Lord, there's not even a sniff of it. Not even a sniff of it, folks. But can I also say, listen, folks, that there's no beer in hell. There's no beer in hell, folks. And worse than that, folks, there's not even a drop of water in hell. You remember the rich man, Luke 16, verses 16 through to 31. Do you remember that verse 24? And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Folks, I want to tell you something tonight. Hell is a real place. Hell is a prepared place for a prepared people. And yet people take it so lightly. And Satan's lying back, folks, listen to me, and is laughing their souls right into the very pit of hell this night. I haven't come here to play church, folks. I haven't come here to tell a story about Keith Shields. I've come here to warn you about your soul, the most important thing that you possess. Because you know something, that your soul will determine where you will spend all of life's eternity. You know, the Bible tells me in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground. And folks, what are we in the flesh but dust? The Bible goes on to tell me in chapter 3, from dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. The next part of that verse goes on to say, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. Every heartbeat that's given here tonight in this meeting is given from a mighty God. Job was able to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But folks, if you want to switch off while I testify, that's up to yourself. But I plead with you to take this last bit in here. And man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. You know, your soul is the most precious thing that you own. Because your soul will never cease to exist, folks. Job warns us in Job 14 and verse 10. But man dieth, and man wasteth away. Yea, man give up the soul. And where is he? An impact of death, folks, listen to me. Your soul will determine where you will spend all of life's eternity. Not but wonder, Mark 8 and 36 tells us, what should a profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know something, folks, from a very young age, brought up in a Christian home, a very godly home, a mother and father that loved the Lord. And from knee high, folks, I want to tell you something. I was sent to Sunday school faithfully. Every meeting that was going, the Shields was sure to be sitting at the front seat. I can truly say that my father was true to the word of God. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. But sadly, folks, and I mean sadly, for 35 years of my life, I departed from the word of God. You know, I could say like Timothy of old, as from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which was able to make thee wise unto salvation. You know, some folks, for a good part of my life, I've done most of the doors around this whole towns and countries. Honestly, folks, and you know, it was in my head, just the money that was coming in raw cash. It was all to do with money in my life. stand outside these pubs and these clubs. I loved it more than anything. I've seen the different types of people, folks. I've seen the down and outers. I've seen the alcoholics. I've seen the drug addicts. I've seen the gamblers. And so often, folks, I used to think, you know, like everybody else, they had a hard upbringing. It's the way they were being brought up. It's the way they've been brought up. Sadly, tonight, folks, you see the majority of these people, they've come from good homes. And many of them come from Christian homes. You probably heard there 2 years ago, don't know why I'm going down this avenue, but I believe in the leading of the Spirit of God when I'm testifying. Young fella, Fred McLennigan, 2 years ago went down into Port Stewart, took a shotgun and shot his fiancée, or his girlfriend. Well, I want to tell you something now, folks. That was my cousin. A young man that was brought up in a very, very, and I mean a very godly home. His father's preached right around the country. And here's a young man who was brought up like me. And truly, I want to say tonight, folks, it's only by the grace of God, and I mean this from my heart, that I'm standing here tonight able to testify of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't the first Saturday morning that my door got a rap, and it was the police. And let me tell you something, folks. You see, when I look back at that, it saddens me to almost tears. Done for GDH. The rap come to arrest me. One Saturday morning, a wee boy at 7 at that time, crying, "Don't take daddy away." I want to tell you something, folks. Sin will take you a lot further than you want to go. But as a young boy, you know, I developed two fears in my life, and that was death and judgment. See, brought up in the gospel, knew the truth. I knew one day that I was going to have to die. Nobody had to tell me that I wasn't going to die. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man. Each one of us, there's an appointment date in heaven. But you know what Romans 14:12 says? So then every one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. You know, we must needs die, all because of the fall in the Garden of Eden over 6,000 years ago. The first Adam rebelled in the Garden of Eden and brought sin and death into this world. And folks, truly I can say tonight he brought it in a major and a powerful way, Satan. I can truly say that. He brought it in a mighty and a powerful way. But I praise the Lord, the last Adam being the Lord Jesus Christ. He submitted in the garden, and that was the Garden of Gethsemane. And he brought life and salvation to all who would believe. You know, tonight I can say at the age of 44 years of age that I have no fear of death. No fear whatsoever of death. Because I can say truly for me, it's going to be absent from the body. And it's going to be present with the Lord. Praise the Lord, death for the believer. You know all it is, folks. Listen, it's only a doorway that leads us into heaven. That's all it is for the believer. And I can say tonight with confidence because of the Word of God, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? I thank the Lord it was swallowed up in Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, "It is finished." And you know, I can truly say tonight that it pleases the Lord. We can't understand it. We can't understand it. I can't understand it, folks. I don't know. Many's the time I think of this. You know, it pleases the Lord in heaven to say, "Come up home, Keith." The Word of God tells me that there in Psalm 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, I wasn't long saved. And I heard a beautiful story about an old godly lady from Ballymena. She was leaving this scene of time. And you know some folks, they say for 3 hours she couldn't speak. Her husband was a pastor of a church. And as her husband was sitting by her, you know something, she had the power to lift her hands towards heaven. And this is the words, her last words here on earth before she went home to glory. She says, "Joe, do you see him? Isn't he absolutely beautiful?" They say her hands fell by her side. And lying in that casket, she had still the same smile. When she was crying that out. But folks, I want to say tonight, it's so different for people that die out of Christ. So different. I know a pastor, and I'll tell you who he is because you can go into the internet and listen to his testimony. It's our good brother, William McRae. His uncle George was dying. You go in and you listen to his testimony. His uncle George knew the scriptures. Do you know what his uncle George's last cry on this scene of time was? "Oh hell, oh hell, oh hell. You know, I often wondered why that man just didn't cry out, Lord, save me, because that was a trick that Satan had in my life. You see, I had my life planned out. I knew I needed the Lord before I left the scene of time. And that was one of the tricks that Satan hit me with. Deathbed repentance, Keith. Wait till you're ready to die and call out to the Lord. Folks, I do believe in deathbed repentance, but it doesn't always happen. Because you see, the Word of God tells me the Lord's not always near, or He's not always found. That's strange, isn't it? That's what the Word of God says in Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call ye upon Him while He is near. But as I got older, folks, those two fears, as I say, left me. I got into high school and got into a bit of wrong company, folks, and truly, those two fears wasn't in my head anymore. You see, I started to develop two dreams in my life, and those two dreams, believe it or not, never brought happiness. I thought it would be great to be standing outside these pubs and the clubs as a doorman with a dicky bow on, making raw cash, hand over fist, and that's exactly what I was doing. Did it bring happiness? It brought terror in our home, folks. I thank the Lord that the Lord's grace was upon me even way back then. But you know something, folks, my other dream was becoming a strong man. Used to watch it as a young boy, and at the age of 22, I started to train. That was my God. Training Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, even on a Saturday. Folks, even on a Sunday, coming up to competitions. And finally, I won 105 Northern Ireland Strongest Man. You go on the internet, you type in Keith Shields, you'll be able to read about it. Did that bring happiness in my life, folks? No. I remember lifting that trophy above my head, thinking to myself, well, now that's me off to the biggest dream I ever had in my life, and that was to go across to Essex in England to represent Northern Ireland and Britain's Strongest Man. I remember lifting that trophy that day, if that Northern Ireland's above my head. And I can assure you now, folks, that didn't last long, because you see, the next morning I wasn't a downer. You see, I've rubbed shoulders with the so-called famous Jordan. I pray that you don't even know her, but she's a balloonhead. But praise the Lord, you know, she's still living in the day of grace. She still can be saved. But I've seen what it's like to be rubbing shoulders with these so-called famous. And I want to say something tonight, folks. You see, when the lights goes out and the show's all over, I can assure you now they're depressed people. That's the way they need to take the drugs. That's the way they need to take it. They have everything that Satan has to offer, these so-called famous people. Britney Spears, at the age of 16 years of age, was tipped to be the next Madonna at that age. They reckon she was a millionaire at that age. You know, doesn't Satan paint the picture bright? But can somebody in this meeting tonight tell me why, on four occasions, Britney Spears tried to take her own life? Four occasions. You see, there's an empty void on the unsaved person. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I have come that you might have life. Listen, folks, and you might have it more abundantly. And truly I can say tonight, folks, 35 years of my life, Satan was feeding me with the bright pictures, taking me deeper, and I mean deeper into sin. I wouldn't even go into my background, folks, because if I was to go into my background, I can assure you now you would get up them pews and walk out through that door. But you know the mighty thing about it? The Lord is in the business of saving souls such as Keith Shields. But you know something, folks? I just want to skip most of my testimony now. I want to take you to 1 month previous for me giving my life to the Savior. It was one Friday night standing outside the Black Horse in Cookstown. A true den of iniquity. How I ever got myself into doing door work there, I don't know. I thank the Lord tonight if there's any traveling community sitting in with us or even listening through the airwaves. I thank the Lord for you. But folks, this is where the traveling community drunk. They weren't allowed in to any other bar in the town. And here I was found as the doorman in this place. My wife normally comes with me every time I testify. She can tell you that most nights when I come home, the white shirt had to go straight to the bin. Sadly, tonight, if I hadn't been getting paid, I still would have been doing that because I loved it. I absolutely loved it, folks. That's how much of a grip Satan had in my life. Not near a church from the age of 15, rebelled. Wasn't for me. I was like the prodigal son, you say. I thought I could run away. Folks, you can't run away from God. Maybe you're praying for a loved one in this meeting tonight, folks, and you can't get them in underneath the sound of the gospel, but yet they know the gospel. Can I encourage you tonight to keep praying on? Because that's how the Lord works. He works through prayer. Father and mother prayed for me for 35 years. I broke their heart, folks. And I mean I broke their heart, sadly to say, tonight. But here, that night, a Friday night, outside the Black Horse, a band of young Christian believers. And you know, some folks, I believe it's the greatest work, apart from prayer, has gone out. Trying to reach them. If there's an outreach team in this church, I pray the Lord will lead you and guide you on at that work. Because let me tell you something, folks. That night, they were handing out gospel tracts up at the traffic lights. I remember looking up. No thought of God. Two fears completely drifted away from my life. Not near a church from the age of 15, and yet stand at the age of 35. And this is what broke me. A gospel tract. One heartbeat away from heaven and hell. See, don't we think maybe just hand a wee gospel tract in at work? That's not much. Well, folks, this is what broke me. Gospel tract. You know, some, they come down and they were ripping up God's word. And as they were ripping that up, you know what I said to myself? Have they no fear of meeting Almighty God one day? Stand before Christ and yet they've no thought of it. There's no fear. And if they were to die tonight, do they realize that they're going to an awful place called hell? This is me standing at 18 and a half stone thinking like this. And the Spirit of God coming almighty in a powerful way and says, Keith, you're no better than what they are. In fact, you're worse because you know the gospel. If they were to die tonight and you were to die also, you're going to hell too. And I can assure you now, folks, I trembled outside that place called the Black Horse, that bar. I remember when they went past, I remember going across and the tracks that wasn't ripped up, I remember going over and lifting them up and putting them into my pocket. I remember the next morning at the table, my wife wondered where I got all the tracks. That fear kicked back in again. I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared to leave this scene of time. And folks, I can assure you now, I trembled like a baby that night. But truly, Satan was at his work. He always is, folks. As the seed goes forth tonight, you'll be sure of one thing. You'll be in a battle. Because that night, folks, I can assure you now, it was the roughest night I ever spent inside the club next door to it, which was called Clubland. There was busloads came up from Andersonstown. And truly, folks, I'll tell you what, how we got out of that place alive, 10 doormen, it was, I just do not know. But I remember coming home. I remember dwelling on the things that night. And folks, you know, some 1 month later was the 27th of the 3rd, 2005. It was an Easter Sunday. And I remember coming down the stairs as normal. And I thank the Lord that He still spared with me for one more month. You know, what scares me today, folks, that sometimes when the Spirit of God speaks, we reject it, don't we? It's very, very dangerous, folks. Very, very dangerous thing to do. Because if the Spirit of God speaking here tonight, and I can't scare you into salvation, nor I don't intend to, but if the Spirit of God speaking, I'll tell you something now, folks, don't turn him away. We know about Felix in the Bible. Whenever Paul went to speak to Felix, Felix says, come back some other convenient time. See, he had no time, but yet he was under conviction. Doesn't tell me nowhere in the Scriptures that he repented. But folks, I remember lying in that black seat a Sunday, Easter Sunday, and the Spirit of God calling me. I remember lying, folks, just as I am telling you now, it's as fresh in my mind. My mind drew to the cross of Calvary. Why did the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, have to leave the splendors of heaven? You know, folks, he was adored in heaven. The angels adored him. But yet he come down into this sin-cursed world for sinners such as we. Whenever I thought about the punishment that my Savior had to endure for my sins, I'm telling you something now, folks. My heart melted that day. How whenever Pontius Pilate was finished with Christ, they handed him over to the Roman soldiers. They took him into the common hall, folks, and we can't envisage what happened to my lovely Savior in there, folks. But you know, as I thought about that, you know, I thought about what about all the miracles he done? You see, anywhere I read in the four Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ done nothing for himself. You'll read it was always for others. I thought about the many miracles, but here I see my lovely Savior standing in the common hall, being mocked and spit upon and stripped and whipped. Folks, we can't fully take it in, but the more I thought about the love of Jesus Christ, the more my heart melted. I remember my wife saying to me at 9 o'clock, Keith, what time are you supposed to be in at tonight? And my wife didn't know that I was under deep conviction. I remember saying to her, I'm supposed to be in at 10 o'clock, trying to hold back the tears in my eyes. My wife never seen me cry before. I remember walking up them stairs to go into the bathroom to get changed, which I thought I was going to do a night of door work. But I thank the Lord that night was the night of my new birth. I remember standing in that bathroom for 15 minutes, folks, and I can tell you now, I know what the power of Satan's like. He come with all his power. I remember the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to me, folks, I can picture it in my head, just letting Satan have a say. He says to me, Keith, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make a mockery of the whole thing. You'll never be able to keep it. Well, I have to admit with Satan, he wasn't telling a lie there. Because you know something's not ours to keep. When the Lord saves, he keeps. We've read it here in the scriptures. How are you going to do without all that money hand over fist? 4 or 5 nights a week of door work. Look at the living you're having. What should a profit a man if he should gain the whole world? Lose his own soul. Folks, up to that stage, I was losing my soul. But you know the trick that he hit me with that did fear me? I might as well tell you the truth. He says, you know, all them doormen are going to laugh at you. They think you've went soft. How are you going to explain to them, boys? I want to say something tonight from this pulpit. You see your friends. Listen very carefully. They'll laugh you into hell. But they'll never, and I mean never, laugh you out of it. And Satan, let me tell you something, for 15 minutes rattled my brain. And that's where he attacks the brain, the mind. And folks, I want to say something. The Lord spoke the once, just the once, Genesis 6 and verse 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. That verse broke me, folks. And I mean broke me. I realized at this point of my life that this was the last time the Lord was speaking. I believe if I had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ that night, I might as well have been in hell. But yet Satan still hung on to the end. I remember just saying, Lord, just give me one more verse in the Bible. Just one more verse in the Bible, Lord. I remember going into the spare room where the Bibles were kept, folks. And I want to say something tonight, folks. I couldn't even find a Bible. And you know what Satan says? He doesn't want to save you, Keith. But as I was hoping for that Bible, folks, you know, this is a miracle. I can't wait to get home to heaven because I'm going to say to the Lord, did you do a miracle in that spare room? There was 8 sheets of paper numbered from 1 to 8. And you know the miracle, folks? The 8th sheet was sitting at the top. A young man had a concern for my soul when I was 14, 15. He realized I was starting to rebel. And he wrote out these sheets and he handed them to me as a young boy at 14, 15. And the miracle was, this is what I had pulled out of that bottom drawer. Not a Bible. Do you know what it said, folks? Especially the 8th sheet was sitting at the top. How to give your life to Christ. I remember filling the pages with tears. I remember crying like a baby, folks. I remember coming down the stairs, meeting the wife, a young lady that I broke her heart, and I mean I broke her heart. I remember asking for the keys of the car, crying. And I believe that the Lord shut my wife's mouth up not to speak. You know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I remember getting into the car. You know what I said? Lord, spare me to get the top of Slieve Galleon, which is 4 mile from where I live at, because I want to give my life to you. But folks, I couldn't even get to the top of the mountain because I realized that I still hadn't repented. I still hadn't cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness. I remember pulling that wee side road and I remember putting my head on top of that steering wheel. And I remember just simply praying the sinner's prayer, Lord, forgive me for every sin I've ever committed against thee. And I want to say tonight, folks, that there was many a sin in my life. I mean many a sin in my life. You know, the heavens didn't open. I didn't see a bright light. But one sure thing, and I can assure you, I felt the presence of Almighty God moving. He took residence in my life that night. You know, the Word of God tells me, and where's it at? 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You know, that's what the Lord's looking for, just a wee simple prayer. Even in our prayer meetings, folks, that's what he's looking for. Not looking for the scribes and the Pharisees' prayers to be heard, they're much speaking. We were at a prayer meeting there recently. I think, down in Kilkeel there recently. And I'll tell you what, a young boy broke my heart listening to him pray. You know what he just prayed? Lord, help me at school to be faithful. And help me, Lord, to glorify your name and round school. It was the nicest prayer there that night, folks, because it was a prayer from the heart. But I remember coming up that road, folks, a changed man. Oh, yes, Satan thought that I was heading in to do door work that night. But I thank the Lord that night was the night of my new birth. I remember coming through the back door. I remember meeting my wife. And I remember throwing my arms around her and saying, Esther, there's going to be changes in our home. I said, I've just surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember crying on her shoulder. First time she ever seen me cry. See, I thought a hard man shouldn't cry. There's nothing hard about me, folks, I can assure you. I remember running to the phone. A mother and father had prayed for me for 35 years in holidays. I remember dialing their number. My dad always used to say, Keith, don't phone, not unless it's an emergency. Well, I thank the Lord it was an emergency that night. I'm sure my father was waiting to hear bad news, but praise the Lord, he heard great news. He says, Dad, you know, I've surrendered my life to the Savior. I've come to my lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And there we were rejoicing the phone. The young man wrote out the 8 sheets of paper, folks. I remember phoning him within sight about 20 minutes, and he lived about 50 miles away from me, so I don't know how he got there so quick. But there he landed at my house with joy in his heart. He says, you know, I've been praying for you for all these years. I remember going into the front room, quarter to 12 it was, and I remembered as a newborn babe praying for the first time, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, I'll never know what it's like to be damned in a lost eternity. And you know, folks, the time has gone. But I want to say something tonight. I've spoken about two fears and two dreams, and I want to finish off by speaking of two promises. And maybe your heart's heavy. Listen, folks, and you've been searching for rest. Do you know what Jesus says? Come on to me, all ye at labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. And he that cometh on to me, I will in no ways cast out. My friend, just call upon him. That's as simple as it is. Satan will confuse your mind and he'll tell you there's more to it. He'll tell you you have to clean up your act. I want to tell you something now. I believe ones that's damned in hell tonight, sadly, I have to say this, they're religious people. Christ says, I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And you know some folks, Romans 10 and 13 just tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what a promise that is tonight, just to think that you could leave this church with a new birth. You remember Romans 3 and 3, except a man be born again, that's the new beginning, folks. He cannot see the kingdom of God. I plead with you tonight just to call upon him, just in case tomorrow may be too late. Proverbs 21 and 7 tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Folks, what is life? You ever sit back and think about it? What is life, folks? I'll tell you what life is. And James explains it right down to the T. In James 4 and 14. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a short time, and then it simply vanisheth away. You know, the clock of life, a little poem. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man have the power to tell just when the hand will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. 39 people died while I read that short poem. 39 people. Every 1 hour, 5,417 people go to meet their Maker. My believer, I'm talking to you. What are you doing to reach them with the gospel ere they're cast into hell? You know, we've got the mockers and the scoffers. You know, what are you scoffing? What are you mocking, folks? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ says in Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I thank the Lord for a godly father. A godly father that loved the Lord. Any time he had in his place of work, he always had the Word of God open, studying. But you know, where the Word of God is always studied, you're sure that Satan's not far behind. Because here was a young man that used to always mock the Word of God. He would wait until the canteen was full, and then he would have everybody laughing in the canteen, twisting the Word of God. One day my father was coming into work. It was a changeover of shifts. And the words that young fella said to my father was this: Cecil, if there's a such place as hell, I'll see you there. He walked across the forecourt, jumped onto a motorbike. In less than half an hour down the road, he had a tractor and a trailer and went out into God's eternity. You know, hell is the final destiny of the person that refuses to accept God's salvation. And my friend, if you don't repent from your sins, one day you will realize that that flame in hell was for real. And just like that rich man, too late will be your cry. You know, I must finish. But every time I read Luke 16, my heart breaks, folks. And I mean my heart breaks. Luke 16, the rich man in hell. Because when I read about that, I think of a dear friend called Francis Campbell, a Roman Catholic fella. The only young man out of 20-some-odd doormen had phoned me was Francis Campbell. And he phoned me one Sunday. I wasn't long saved, I think 2-3 weeks. We weren't long in from church, and we got the phone call. It was Francis. He says to me, Keith, we miss you at the door. How are you getting on? And as a newborn babe in Christ, I tried to explain to Francis the way of salvation. And you know, some as best as I could, I told Francis that just because he was a Catholic, I was a Protestant, makes no difference. The Lord Jesus Christ says he came into this world to save sinners, Francis, and we're all sinners. I explained to him about the fall, and I explained to him why the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And the last words that that friend says to me is, Keith, I know that there's something more. I remember saying cheerio to him for the last time. A mission had come to our town, Cookstown. Independent Methodist was running a mission. And I remember going to that mission, and there was a converted Roman Catholic from Paul Glass was testifying, and I just could not settle. Why did I not bring Francis, this dear friend of mine, a young fellow had done door work with me for years, why did I just not bring him to this mission to hear this word of testimony? The meeting was over. I remember going up to the front and speaking till I says, brother, you won't have a copy of your testimony. Because I says, 2-3 weeks ago, there was a Roman Catholic, he used to do door work with me, phoned me. And I says, that would be a powerful testimony to give to him. Let me explain, folks. I remember running to the car with excitement in my heart, because he says, I've got a copy in the car. And my main thing was to get to Francis Campbell, that dear friend, to give him that copy of that word of testimony. And let me explain, folks. Francis was like a rich man. He had everything materially. And I mean materially. He was left a massive farm. He sold 2 plots of land, got over 200,000. He lived in a beautiful home, was going with a wee girl from Australia and drove a beautiful car. So materially, Francis had everything that a man could wish for. I often wondered why he had to stand and do door work. It was nothing to do with the money. It was just the crack. And that was a phrase that he always heard, the crack's good. The crack's not good tonight where Francis is at. Because see, every time I speak, I can see Francis sitting in the meeting. A dear man that I love with all my heart. I remember going to that funeral, folks, to that wake, should I say, and his brother came out with tears and says, come on, do you see Francis? And all I could see was the Rosary Beads folks. Remember the big farmyard one after telling you that he was left? He went down and he took a rope and he committed suicide. And that's the way I think if Francis was in this meeting tonight, he wouldn't even wait till this meeting was over. I know for a fact he wouldn't wait till this meeting was over, because he had run to this front and he had cried out for the Lord to save him. I remember looking into that young man, and there he was holding on to a set of rosary beads. Something he believed in. A false faith. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 tells me that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What are you holding on to tonight, folks? I want to say something. Satan has you blinded. Maybe you're holding on to your good works. You're coming to church. You've maybe even been baptized, catechized. And folks, you give your tenth unto the church. All this is good. I'll never take you to heaven. 35 years of my life, I was bound for that lost eternity. And folks, that's the way I've come tonight. There's only one way. And Jesus is it. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, folks, I've stood here tonight, and with this I finish. 3,500 years ago, Jeremiah stood before the children of Israel. He told them all the mighty things that the Lord had done for them. And he gave this cry out to amongst them. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And one thing that you will do tonight in this meeting, unsaved person, you've got a choice tonight. But I can say from the bottom of my heart, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.
Many thanks, Keith, for that testimony. God has spoken surely to your heart, and you know what you need to do. Let's close our service with singing number 195. 195, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. I want you to pay particular attention when you're singing the fourth verse. When you come to the fourth verse, you decide how you're going to respond. Let's stand and sing together this lovely hymn. bow in God's presence. If you have never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him to be your Saviour, would you do that tonight? Would you say, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Will you give him everything there is of you tonight? And trust him to save your soul. Settle your eternal destiny tonight, once and for all. Will you do that? Will you do that? At the very end of this meeting, there will be those who are handing out tea in the prayer room. Keith and I will both be in the foyer of the church. I will ask that there's no little groups hanging out in the foyer this evening. Just move on out or stay within the church or go into the prayer room and get your wee cup of tea. So Keith and I will be there. There are plenty of rooms in the church we can bring you to. Or just stay in your seat, and then when everyone's left, we'll come back in and we'll speak with you. Love to lead you to Christ tonight. Love to do it. Our hearts will be doing somersaults. Do it tonight. Father, we thank you for your presence, for the honesty of your servant, and Lord, the obvious burden he has. And we ask, Lord, tonight, that as Jesus stands with outstretched arms, saying, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Grant, Lord, the saving grace, we pray. Break the chains and shackles of Satan and sin. Lord, we ask that you'll break his spell tonight and cause men and women to call out on your name. Pardon thy fear and with thy blessing, for we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. You may be seated. There are any amount of leaflets in the little leaflet holders on the way out, but please speak with us tonight. It'll be a joy to pray with you and lead you to Christ. Thank you so much.